It's time for Eating and Drinking with The Current, our Wednesday check-in with the morning show's food and beverage authorities from around town this morning. James Norton is back with us. He blogs for The Heavy Table, the Twin Cities-based dining blog. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning.
All right, so what's going on here as far as interesting places popping up in the burbs? You had a piece recently in The Heavy Table about this, and there's some activity in the suburbs.
It seems you've been rocking the suburbs, so tell us what's going on.
The suburbs are, in fact, rocking these days. I'm pretty excited about lots of stuff going on outside sort of the city cores of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I had a really interesting conversation with a young chef named Ben Rientz at Lynn 65 Kitchen and Bar, not yet open, opening in March of this year, hopefully. You never know with restaurants, but he's shooting for a spring opening. And he's down in Richfield. Now, he used to cook for Restaurant Alma for Alex Roberts, one of the preeminent chefs in the area. And like a lot of young people, he's kind of like, I want to go out, start my own thing. And he made this point that we've got this great core of established chefs, you know, like Alex Roberts, like Isaac Becker, who are training up all these young guns. And now these guys are in their late 20s, early 30s. They all want to get started. Can't necessarily set up in prime location downtown. So you got to kind of strike out and go where the action is in the suburbs. And we're going to see some really interesting stuff happening, I think, as a result.
What is he looking to do with his place?
Lynn 65 is going to be really interesting. He got inspired, and hold on to your hats, he got inspired by Asian street food restaurants in Europe, among other things. He took this European eating tour, found these small, edgy, passionate places, and was like, I want to bring some of this kind of energy and excitement. So there'll be Asian street food, some European influence stuff. They hope to do a pop-up restaurant every month, once a month on Mondays. It'll be kind of a more high-concept tasting menu. So he's going to try a lot of experimental stuff, and I think he's got the pedigree and the chops to pull it off. So it'll be fascinating to see how it works out. I mean, it can work, and one of the examples is Travail out in Robbinsdale. They opened, they were immediately popular. They were doing a lot of really edgy, fun, rock and roll style food, surprisingly affordable, really challenging, interesting tasting menus. They did a Kickstarter to expand, blew the lid off what they hoped to raise with their Kickstarter. And now Travail is going to be opening. They're kind of in a soft opening this week kind of mode right now. They'll just be doing tasting menus. They've got a new place called The Rookery, also opening in Robbinsdale, that'll be chef-driven cocktails and micro plates, like little tapa-style things. And they've got Pig Ate My Pizza, which is kind of a high-end pizza joint out there as well. So those guys are rocking it, and I think proving you can do wild stuff in the suburbs and make it work.
And Pig Ate My Pizza, popular with families as well. I know a lot of families out there who are Robbinsdale residents who enjoy going there.
I think the general level of chaos at a Travail-related restaurant is kid-conducive, kid-friendly. Maybe you don't want to go to Travail on a Friday night with your kids, but I think Pig Ate My Pizza is a really good fit. And another place I wanted to mention before we wrap up, if you go down to Rosemount, there's a new Sri Lankan restaurant called House of Curry. And wow, I loved it. It just had this amazing brightness and depth of flavor to the food that really kind of knocked my socks off. They had a dish called Deviled Shrimp, which is kind of like these pink curls of shrimp lacquered in a slightly sugary something with like a really wonderful medium spiciness to it. It was almost like a Sri Lankan take on a Chinese stir fry. Really delicious. They had a roti dish, which are these four pieces of like fat coconut flatbread that have like a beautiful char on them, come with a spicy onion chutney.
Ooh.
And then four pieces of charred tuna. And you have the tuna and the chutney and the bread together. And wow. And I've never tasted anything like it. I mean, I've been super passionate and into food for, you know, 15 plus years at this point. I love that I can go out to restaurants still, middle of the suburbs, try a dish and go, whoa, I've never had that combination before. I think House of Curry, Rosemount, if you're out there, do it.
You know, one of the things that's exciting to me about this is that 15 years ago, when I first moved to the Twin Cities, you know, just think about how the Twin Cities restaurant scene has changed just in the urban cores. And now we're looking at things that are really starting to explode in the suburbs, too. It's like it's just growing outward and outward.
More than chain restaurants.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think the suburbs are really where a lot of opportunity is. I think the population is getting more diverse out there. The real estate's more affordable. You can set up in a little strip mall space, and maybe visually it's not the most impressive thing in the world, but if you're bringing the passion and the quality of ingredients, you can have a world-class restaurant anywhere, and I think there are people out there set to prove that's possible.
Sounds good. Well, we have the links to the various establishments that James talked about online at thecurrent.org. Before you go, tell us about North Coast Nosh. It's coming up soon. It's just about that time of year again.
It is. We are getting together for a North Coast Nosh at the American Swedish Institute on February 23rd from 4 to 7 p.m. We're going to have about 30-plus local purveyors. We're talking cheesemakers, brewers, chocolatiers, bakers, bringing awesome local artisan food from Minnesota and Wisconsin. You get a ticket, you sample to your heart's content, and we always make an emphasis with these events to not be a giant crowd of people. There's a chance to actually talk with the purveyors, exchange some information, hear their stories, and taste delicious stuff. So if you go to heavytable.com, there's a little North Coast Nosh button up at the top. Hit that. Get your tickets. It's going to be a blast.
What is the difference between a cheesemaker and a cheesemonger?
Cheesemonger is selling cheese to you in a shop and knows a bunch of different cheesemakers and makes their wares available. Cheesemaker is making the cheese, taking the milk, and creating the product.
See, I always thought the monger was the maker.
No, the monger is the monger.
No, seriously, thank you for clearing that
up. Of course.
Good to know that distinction.
My pleasure.
James Norton, thanks as always. Nice to see you.
Thanks for having me on.
James Norton writes for HeavyTable.com, a daily Twin Cities-based online magazine passionately telling the stories of food and drink from roots to table in the upper Midwest. It's Eating and Drinking on 89.3 The Current.